Friends, today I would like to talk about just two subjects: the glory of God and life eternal. Now, as to the first, if you have no idea what the glory of God might actually mean, you are not alone. And as to the second, if you have an idea of what eternal life is, chances are that it's not what the gospel writer of John was intending. And in both cases, if we have a sense, even a glimpse, of what they might mean, the glory of God and life eternal, then we just might see and hear, speak and act in this world in a whole way. For many weeks, we have been praying for one Baylor Fredrickson. He may not be well known to many in this congregation. He and his family aren't parishioners at All Souls, but Baylor has several friends here. Some of our kids who go to Cornell Elementary School know him. He's on a Little League team with some in this congregation, including one of my sons. Baylor has been in our prayers for some time because he has leukemia, a cancer of the blood. And we have been especially praying because of the difficulty they are having in finding a match for his bone marrow. You see, Baylor's heritage is Japanese and German, and it is particularly challenging to find a match. And his family has been reaching out far and wide for people that they might be tested to see if they match. The situation is getting progressively more challenging, and they are becoming understandably anxious to locate this match so his treatment can begin. So it was that this week, you may have seen a post on Facebook or had a message from Baylor's baseball coach from last year. The post, the email, was a plea to anyone who has ears about why they should act to help find a match. It was essentially personal in nature, about what this means to this coach and to Baylor and his family. It was really quite a remarkable message in tone and in clarity, and there was a reason for this, because it just so happens that the author of this message, his coach from last year, is another associated friend of All Souls, Michael Lewis. You may know Michael from his articles in Vanity Fair, his pieces on This American Life, or his books like Moneyball or Liar's Poker, or his newest book about the nearly unbelievable financial skimming taking place on Wall Street, Flash Boys. Now, as you may know, Michael has a gift. His gift is for taking a complex issue and distilling it to its essence, then explaining how the complexity came to be through a mixture of narrative, metaphor, information, and humor. In the appeal that he has written, Michael is sharing his gift, using what he has been given and has honed, in order that another might not suffer and that Baylor may in time be well again. Here I admit to being fairly biased, as I think that this message, seeking a bone marrow donor for this 7-year-old Baylor, is some of Michael's best work. Because his appeal is compelling, direct, honest, and hopeful. Much of his work is that as well, but what sets this message apart for me is that it so obviously comes from a place of love, which you can't always do in Vanity Fair. Now, Michael has received a lot of a certain kind of glory that we bestow upon a small group of successful people in our culture, often sports stars or politicians, movie actors, and sometimes even writers. It's a glory of honors and praise, fame and
maybe even adulation. And my guess is that we are all familiar with this understanding of glory and sometimes of the corrosive effects it can have. But in the message that he wrote, Michael has chosen to offer a glimpse of a different sort of glory, that of a simple, heartfelt act of love, one person for another, expecting nothing in return. This may not be the most common understanding of glory, but it is the beating heart of the Gospel of John. The glory that Jesus participates in, and he does this throughout the gospel and six times in this passage alone, is seen when God's love is made known, present. This kind of glory is not self-referential. It does not seek its own ends. It does not bask in applause or make demands for its greatness. This kind of glory actually points to the other, is given out of free will, and is possibly the only true gift that we can offer another. There's another reason why I mention this appeal for Baylor, because I was made to realize that participation in the glory of God, offering a glimpse of what radical love is always a choice for us to make. It so happens that we received this message in an email from another friend, and when she sent it out, she made a simple mistake. Because when she sent it on to many, many of her friends and acquaintances, all with the hope of helping to find a match for Baylor, she included all of those people's emails in the to line of the email, rather than, say, the BCC line, which meant that every person on the email saw every other person's email address. A faux pas, to be sure, but you know, this happens, and it came accompanying a message of compassionate intent. Unfortunately, however, that wasn't how at least one person received it. And I only mention his email because it too represents another response to living in this world. And it brought things to clarity for me. Because his reply to our friend's email and the appeal for a bone marrow match was the following. Holy crap, at least BCC everyone and send the email to yourself so you don't violate netiquette and give everyone's emails to everyone else. But I guess why should you care? You're a spammer. He then finished his response by writing, reported. I realize that by sharing these two emails, I run the risk of oversimplifying the complex and difficult decisions we face each and every day. But I just couldn't help but feel that in the space of these two emails sent literally within seconds of each other, there were two fundamentally different actions, glimpses offered to all who had eyes to see. They each offered a way into what that person's stance and intent was. Now, I don't know what kind of a day Mr. Angry Spam Reporter had. He may well have been experiencing his own pain or fear when this appeal for a bone marrow transplant came across his screen. He may have assumed that this was just another internet hoax being passed around, as if Michael Lewis really cared enough about a 7-year-old kid to use his place in life to call others to care. Just to be sure, Mr. Angry Spam Reporter has now been assured of the legitimacy of this appeal. I know, we all have days. Sometimes it feels like it stretches to months or years when we take so many hits that we feel as if we cannot take just one more. But here's the deal, friends. When Jesus says, all mine are yours and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them, he isn't just talking about what he has revealed, about the space between all the matter of the universe being love. He is reminding the disciples and all those who hear these words that the only way that this love supreme will be made known is if we, through word and deed, reveal it. This is what this glory is all about. People coming to know that this love can be made present in this very moment, here, with you and with me. Which in a way brings us to eternal life, that theme that gets most confused in John's gospel, and yet is one of the most critical. Friends, in John's gospel, eternal life is not about where we go when we die. It has nothing to do with pearly gates or clouds or harps. Do you remember John 14? Those dwelling places in his father's house, they are not physical places in the by and by. But the disciples, us, right? They hear this and they get confused. It's why a couple of weeks ago they asked, well, how will we know this eternal life? Must we wait for death? No, says Jesus, eternal life, participation in all that is made known now. Through every encounter with the divine presence, which is always mediated and made known, manifest, revealed through acts of love. Eternal life in John's gospel is the present now. We live in this eternity. We know God to the degree that we are able to act out of love. This week, this day, this hour, this moment, we know God when we live from love. But not just here today in this space, though I'm okay with that, but especially when we walk out these doors and we get back into that messy, hairy, sometimes don't give a blank world. For as one scholar, Larry Bouchard, has written, glory, and I would add eternal life, glory must be understood within the cruciform logic of God is love. Within the logic of love, when we say beauty and glory, we also name the despised, diseased, ugly, God-forsaken, crucified, exiled, imprisoned, the guilty. Along with the idiotic, psychotic, asinine, homicidal, bully, tyrant, rapist, pedophile. As well as the dancing parents, compassionate cops, economic artists, shining actors, curious politicians, and the hopeful oxymoron, gay soldier, lesbian diva, delightful health maintenance organizer, inquisitive male woman, guy selling bagels, and, he finishes, who else? Who else? Who else? I suppose hearing this litany, I'd have to add Mr. Angry Spam Reporter. And if I can somehow muster the wholehearted courage of Richard Martinez, whose son was shot dead this past week in Isla Vista near the UC Santa Barbara campus, we must add even those who kill and maim and destroy the creatures of God. For this is the cruciform logic of love. This is the glory of God, that all the power, all the might, all the strength and the sway of all that is was brought to bear on a cross and revealed, fully exposed as love. This is the glory of God, when that same love, radical and fierce, refuses to allow fear and anger, envy and hatred to be the final word. This is the glory of God, when we, our hearts open, give ourselves freely to another, making life eternal present now.